Welcome to the Aversion Podcast. I'm your host, Zainab Yate, and I'm the author of When Breastfeeding Sucks, What You Need to Know About Nursing Aversion and Agitation. So, in the last episode, we loosely covered some internal sort of causes for aversion, whether that's biological or otherwise. And in this episode, we're going to loosely cover the external pressures or aspects that can contribute to experiencing aversion. Now, I loosely categorize them as an internal and external because aversion can be quite layered and complex, and it's useful to understand these two differentiations in order to, I guess, assess your own triggers and see perhaps where your symptoms of aversion are coming from, because they do often have a cause. Now, it can be multiple causes, and so that's why we're going to go into external factors like societal pressures or changes in life circumstances that can mean you can experience particular negative emotions when breastfeeding. So this could be something as small as people in your inner circle, whether friends or family or someone you frequently meet, not being too supportive of your breastfeeding journey. So whether that's because they don't think that breastfeeding is necessary, or they don't understand normal infant feeding behaviour, or whether they had a bad breastfeeding experience themselves, or just generally because they're particularly nosy or like to give advice when they shouldn't. Either way, if it's somebody that you have to see, for example, like a close family member or even your partner, it can weigh down on you, especially if they are critical or they pass criticism on breastfeeding and you're not able to vent or share or complain about breastfeeding being difficult or uncomfortable or irritating, or the fact that bedtime is taking 2 hours, because these things allow us to be able to cope with particularly irritating or stressful situations. You know, venting is a coping mechanism. You don't always want to stop the activity you're doing. People continually complain and vent about work. You know, most people don't like working in an office with the idiosyncratic office members that might really annoy you, but that doesn't mean that you're going to stop working entirely and not go into the office. And it's the same with breastfeeding. If you have an external environment where it's not really supported and you struggle at times with breastfeeding, then not having the reassurance and being able to vent can actually mean that you somehow subconsciously start to get more irritated with breastfeeding. Perhaps you start to perceive that your nursling or your nurslings are asking to breastfeed more, or that you have to spend so much longer than you thought you would breastfeeding. Whereas if you had a supportive environment where breastfeeding was normalised, where it was encouraged, where you had someone to give you a cup of tea because you couldn't move, where you had someone to step in at the bedtime routine because you hadn't showered for 2 days or you really need the toilet, then these slow, supportive, releasing moments can actually mean your aversion is not as extreme or doesn't start to build, because this makes breastfeeding itself more manageable. So that's an example of an external factor that can contribute at least to breastfeeding aversion. Another one is an extension of this, which is societal pressures, whether to return to work, whether to not breastfeed in public, whether to wean. By weaning, I mean stop breastfeeding entirely. These pressures can also mean that your breastfeeding experience becomes a lot more pressured, and this can start to mean you struggle with breastfeeding, and therefore the activity itself means it can have friction and tension, and aversion can arise. So these kind of external pressures are really important to consider on a personal circumstantial level, and what you can do varies. So for example, mindfulness, which I cover in my book, it's about a practice, an approach to covering that negative aspect of your life, and it can mean that you address your thoughts, or you can essentially contemplate what's happening, because you are not your thoughts. You don't have to take your thoughts and run with them, and that can be one way of managing difficult breastfeeding experiences, by covering the pattern that your brain has when you start to have aversion, when you get triggered, and when you start to run with your journey. You know, your thought could be, God, this is like the 50th time I've breastfed today. Why don't they leave me alone? Why isn't it getting easier? You know, they're older now, they don't really need the milk. And then you can get irritated and triggered, and then you'll start to get angry, you'll have an urge to delatch, you might have the rush of cortisol and adrenaline run through you, and you're going to want to just stop breastfeeding as soon as that kind of neurological response kicks in, because your thought, your negative thought, so to speak, has triggered a biological, mental and emotional response to what's happening. So, for example, a mindfulness practice where you are allowing the thoughts to enter into your space and then just move out of your headspace without taking action on them, or breathing through that particular scenario. And there's some research to show that if you can last the 90 seconds, that is enough for you to be able to tackle that neurobiological response. These kind of things can help with the external factors that contribute to aversion. Now, obviously, no one's saying that you should be a mindfulness master, and I, for one, certainly found that it did not sort out my aversion straight away. However, that doesn't mean I didn't adopt it, because in the long run, and breastfeeding more often than not is for the long game, it can take weeks or months, some people even years, before they stop breastfeeding, for whatever reason it is, it would be worthwhile to look into things like Headspace, which are a free mindfulness or meditation app, or YouTube offers some really good qualified led mindfulness practices. And these, if implemented on a daily basis, can start to change your perceptions and your ability to cope with external factors and pressures when you are stuck breastfeeding. So in terms of what helps, this is a generalized approach to look at what is affecting breastfeeding in the external environment for you. And we will go into much more depth about both the biological and the external, so societal factors for breastfeeding as we go on, and the layers that can build in mothers when it comes to breastfeeding and their specific causes and triggers for breastfeeding aversion in other podcasts. But for now, I wanted to leave you with the kind of part two of what can help to try and sow the seeds for embracing small but substantial lifestyle changes in order to tackle and abate your aversion. So thanks for listening, and I'll try not to leave it too long before I come on for the next podcast. I have to apologise for the length of time it's been. I've just really not been very well, and breathing and speaking were a bit of an issue for me. So I've had to stop all of that aspect of my voluntary work, but hopefully we'll be back on track, and this time next month I'll have another podcast out looking at another aspect of what causes aversion and another aspect of what we know can help.